This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Later this hour, we're going to meet two veterans who are working to connect local vets to support services for the bodies and minds around Southwest Florida and here on the campus of Florida Gulf Coast University. But first, after a long night of watching Florida election results fluctuate between 1 and 2 percentage point spreads, several races were called by election officials. Still, two wins that were claimed by Republican candidates are so close that, according to the Florida Division of Elections recount procedures, they will have to be recounted. Those races are the U.S. Senate race, in which Rick Scott leads incumbent Bill Nelson by only 0.39%. Those races are the U.S. Senate race, in which Rick Scott leads incumbent Bill Nelson by only 0.39%, and the Agriculture Commissioner race, in which Matt Caldwell leads Nikki Fried by only 0.16%. According to Florida election law, any race in which the lead is a 0.5% or less is automatically recounted electronically by the 9th day after the election. Then, if the margin is as thin as 0.25%, the ballots go for a hand recount. If it goes as far as that hand recount, it's required to be completed by the 12th day after the election. Last night at about 10 till midnight, Governor Rick Scott called his own race after some media outlets had made their calls and gave an acceptance speech at his election results watch party in Naples. WGCU's Rachel Iacovone was there.
Scott took the stage nearly 5 hours after polls closed, to the applause of an enthusiastic and patient crowd of his supporters.
If you just stop and think about it, from what we started to deliver 8 years and 7 months ago, it's just hard to believe we're here tonight.
The term-limited governor anxiously awaited the results over the course of the night, until his campaign ruled Scott's lead over Nelson large enough to call it.
The campaigns I've been involved in are divisive and they're tough. And they're actually way too nasty. But you know what? We've done this for over 200 years, and after these campaigns, we come together. And that's what we're going to do.
Now, Senator Scott spoke about his next steps heading into the majority Republican Senate, now facing a Democratic-led House.
Together, we reinvented state government in Florida, and we're going to do the same thing in D.C. The federal government is frustrating. It's outdated. It's wasteful and it's inefficient. All of us in state government have dealt with the federal government over the last 8 years, and we could tell you story after story after story.
In his own sort of rags-to-riches story highlighted in past campaign ads, Scott rose from the economic hardships he faced as a child to put himself through law school and later apply his education in his role as the CEO of the largest for-profit hospital in the country, where he made the millions he'd one day invest in his bids for public office. When he spoke about his upbringing, Scott choked up at the mention of his mother.
She never would believe that I'd be a governor or a U.S. senator. I had the most wonderful mom.
For voters, the most important thing leading up to Election Day seemed to be the two senatorial candidates' responses to crises such as the algal blooms plaguing the southern half of the state. The topic was front and center on protest signs in the months leading up to the midterm election. Another hot topic was the response to Hurricane Maria's devastation in Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico, for sure!
Scott visited the so-called Isla del Encanto 8 times after Maria, though Nelson also visited the island several times. With all of the causes that are near and dear to the hearts of Florida voters, in the end, they declared they want a new, though familiar face, to take a crack at solving the state's biggest issues on the Senate floor.
And I will never give up. God bless every one of you. God bless our great country. Let's get to work.
Rachel Iacovone, WGCU News, Naples.
For his part, Senator Bill Nelson has not given a concession speech, and his campaign released a statement that they look forward to the complete results after a recount is finished. His campaign plans to try to contact voters, quote, whose ballots were not counted due to a lack of ID or a matching address, end quote, by this Saturday. The other race in which the Republican candidate called his race is that of Florida Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services. Matt Caldwell gave a victory speech to about 200 people crowded into a North Fort Myers restaurant last night. He said he was at 0.5% ahead of his opponent Nikki Fried, at about 10 o'clock last night. But this morning, that lead has thinned to 0.16%. WGCU's Andrea Perdomo has more.
Nikki Fried is a Fort Lauderdale attorney and lobbyist.
She wants to widen access to medical marijuana and more thoroughly review background checks for concealed weapons applications. This is from her first campaign ad.
One helps sick and dying Floridians and is overregulated. And the other one is used to terrorize our schools and our communities and is barely regulated at all.
A crowd of more than 100 people cheered when Fried walked into her election night watch party at Good Spirits. But that same crowd had dwindled down to just a handful of people a few hours later when Fried announced she wouldn't be conceding quickly in a close race.
We have had a message that we have traveled across the state as hope for our state, a vision of what our state can look like.
Fried was born and raised in Miami and now lives in Broward County. I'm Katie Switalski in Fort Lauderdale.
Ron DeSantis will be Florida's next governor. The Republican beat Democratic Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum in a narrow victory. Brendan Byrne was at the campaign's victory headquarters in Orlando last night and has this report.
So please join me in welcoming our next governor and the First Lady, Ron and Casey DeSantis.
Just hours after the polls closed in Florida, candidate Andrew Gillum delivered his concession speech. Minutes later, in front of a packed ballroom in Orlando's convention area, DeSantis, flanked by his running mate and his wife, claimed victory.
And I think my election as governor in the nation's third largest state is further proof that, regardless of where you start out in life, if you work hard, if you do it for the right reasons, you can succeed in the United States of America.
When the DeSantis campaign started out, the North Florida congressman was far from the frontrunner in the Republican primary. Florida's Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam held an early lead in the race, but that all changed when President Trump threw his support for DeSantis on Twitter, followed by appearances at rallies across the state. That's what brought the support of Kat Gates Skipper. Like DeSantis, she's a retired member of the military and part of the Veterans for DeSantis group. When she heard the candidate was in for Trump, she was all in for DeSantis.
Oh, well, because he's for our veterans, and President Trump supports him because I'm for President Trump because I was President Trump's chairwoman for veterans for the state of Florida when he ran.
The race for Florida's governor was also seen as a bellwether for President Trump's influence on elections throughout the country. National political stories like the nomination and confirmation of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh amid allegations of sexual assault sparked anger from Democrats across the country and in Florida. But Republican political analyst Michelle Ertel said it also riled up the other side.
Trump has been saying jobs, not mobs, you know, and that's motivated the Democrats, but it's also motivated Republicans.
DeSantis was behind in public opinion polls leading into the election, but supporter Congressman Matt Gaetz said polling never concerned the campaign.
Because it was often modeling an electorate that Florida has never seen. There was an assumption that there would be a blue wave, so many more new Democratic voters that Republicans would be behind the eight ball. The reality is that Democrats did build a tremendous coalition of new voters, but there was a corresponding red wave.
A record number of early voters cast their ballot in Florida. Democrats and Republicans accounted for nearly 40% of the ballots ahead of Tuesday's election. And Dems held the early lead. But that left nearly 2.5 million no-party-affiliated voters up for grabs. It's still unclear which candidate picked up those votes. UCF political scientist Aubrey Jewett says even though DeSantis didn't run a perfect campaign, his challenger Andrew Gillum was too far left for Florida voters.
And to be so upfront and bold as Gillum was, to say he would push for a $1 billion tax increase, you know, maybe again, that was one of the factors that fell into this.
DeSantis campaign officials say a last-minute push highlighting DeSantis's environmental policy and Florida's booming economy helped close the gap and win the election. The governor-elect promised to continue the work strengthening that economy and keeping it a tax-free state to attract investors.
We have an awful lot of opportunities in Florida, particularly building a stronger economy, and that is in large part due to the hard work of Rick Scott for 8 years, focusing on bringing Florida's economy back. It's never been better. We haven't reached our potential. That's what I'm going to work on doing.
DeSantis will inherit that economy from Governor Scott and the leadership of the Sunshine State in January. I'm Brendan Byrne in Orlando.
Andrew Gillum narrowly lost his bid to be the first black governor in Florida's history and the first Democratic governor in two decades. WLRN's Jessica Bakeman spent the last couple of days on the campaign with Gillum supporters in Tallahassee.
For the Gillum campaign, Election Day started at midnight, with a rally and concert at Gillum's alma mater, Florida A&M University. The school's marching band opened for headliners P. Diddy, DJ Khaled, and other celebrities pulling for a Gillum win.
We're going to get Andrew Gillum in office tomorrow. Y'all ready?
The joy and pride Black Floridians felt about Gillum's candidacy was palpable during two Election Day parties at Florida A&M, the state's only public historically Black university. Hours after the concert, the Gillum campaign and supporters waited for election results on the campus's main courtyard. Kiara Ware is a FAMU junior from Fort Lauderdale.
We voted. We early voted. We voted today. We voted in the Grand Ballroom. We voted everywhere.
3.9 million people voted for Gillum. He lost to DeSantis by 1%. Andrew Gillum ran his campaign for governor on both of his hometowns.
Growing up in Miami.
Gillum said his childhood in the Richmond Heights neighborhood of South Miami-Dade informed his platform. Funding for public schools, affordable health care, better economic conditions for working people. His other home is Tallahassee, where his record as mayor plagued his campaign.
I'm proud to be the mayor of Tallahassee. But
Republicans criticized the capital city's crime rate and highlighted an FBI investigation into potential corruption in city government that's still swirling around his administration. During the contentious campaign, the candidates accused each other of being radical, extremist, liars. And race was at the forefront.
The last thing we need to do is to monkey this up.
He understood the dog whistle that he was blowing.
DeSantis has maintained he is not racist. He said everyone in Florida would get a, quote, fair shake if he was governor. Gillum embraced his status as the first Black major party candidate for governor in Florida, especially in how he spent the final days of his campaign with what he hoped would be the celebratory events at Florida A&M.
Bring it home! Bring it home!
After voting on the morning of Election Day, Gillum was asked to comment on the historic nature of his run.
We'll worry about history later, but today we're working to win.
Voting with his wife and three small children, he seemed comfortable, calm, confident. 13 hours later, he was holding back tears during his concession speech.
I sincerely regret that I couldn't bring it home for you.
He stressed that he would keep fighting for the things he and his supporters believe in. Florida has a dark history of slavery, institutionalized racism, and racial violence. Reginald Ellis is Associate Dean of the Graduate School at Florida A&M and an expert in African-American history. He says Florida's past affects what happens today.
As African-Americans are moving into those higher level positions, there has historically always been some level of pushback.
He argued that during this campaign for governor, racism from the GOP was overt and profound. Some Black voters said they were impressed by how Gillum embraced his identity and called out racism.
So often people are afraid to tackle racism.
Erica Horn volunteered for Gillum. She's from Deerfield Beach and lives in Tallahassee now.
I felt like I was being heard every moment that he spoke. He actually spoke for me.
Another campaign volunteer, Ursula Staten, said Gillum's campaign was historic even though he lost.
It's a start, you know. We've never even had a nominee.
She said she believes he helped create opportunities for other Black candidates in the future. I'm Jessica Bakeman in Tallahassee.
Looking to other state cabinet races, former federal judge Ashley Moody will be Florida's next attorney general. The Tampa Republican beat Democrat Sean Shaw by more than 500,000 votes. During her victory speech, Moody said she began preparing for the job years ago, starting with lessons she learned from her father, who was also a federal judge.
The strength and resilience of our society hinges on a fair judicial system. Not only a fair judicial system, but one that is perceived as fair. And I will work towards that in every day as the Attorney General.
Moody succeeds Republican Pam Bondi, who could not seek re-election because of term limits. Last night's congressional district races here in Southwest Florida ended in Republican victories across the board. WGCU's John Davis has the breakdown.
Republican businessman Francis Rooney of Naples won his re-election bid Tuesday night for Florida's 19th congressional district against Democratic challenger Naples financial advisor David Holden. That district includes a coastal portion of Southwest Florida stretching from Fort Myers to Marco Island. Florida's 17th congressional district race went to Republican Greg Stube over Democrat Alan Ellison. Stube is currently term limited out of his current state Senate district seat. Ellison was chosen to take up the Democratic nomination after the death of April Freeman, shortly after her midterm election victory in August. That district includes a large area of central Florida from eastern Tampa Bay to the western shores of Lake Okeechobee. GOP incumbent Vern Buchanan has won the race for Florida's 16th congressional district over Democrat David Shapiro. This will mark Buchanan's seventh term in Congress. The 16th congressional district stretches from Bradenton in Manatee County to Northport in Sarasota. And Florida's 25th congressional district was called early in the night for incumbent Republican Mario Diaz-Balart, who retains the seat for a ninth term. That district largely encompasses much of southwestern Miami-Dade and a portion of Collier County. This is WGCU News.
When it comes to Southwest Florida state legislative district races, the theme of the night was victory for GOP incumbents there as well. WGCU's John Davis reports again.
Incumbent Republican state senator and attorney Kathleen Pasadomo has defeated her challenger, former Collier County Democratic Party chair and Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School graduate Anissa Kareem. That district covers portions of Collier, Hendry, and Lee counties. Fort Myers incumbent Republican House Majority Leader Ray Rodriguez defeated Democratic challenger David Bogner for the House District 76 seat in Fort Myers. Republican incumbent Heather Fitzenhagen has defeated her Democratic challenger, Dr. Paris Mateeb, for the State House District 78 seat, also in Fort Myers. Incumbent Republican House Majority Whip Dane Eagle won his re-election bid for the State House District 77 seat covering Cape Coral. Republican incumbent Byron Donalds has defeated his Democratic challenger to keep his seat representing Florida's House District 80, which includes the northeast portion of Collier County, including Immokalee, and part of Hendry County, including LaBelle. Republican James Vernon Buchanan won his bid against Democrat Tony Mowry for Florida's 74th State House seat. That district includes a portion of Sarasota County. Republican Spencer Roach has defeated Democrat Mark Lipton in the House District 79 race. That district covers a northeastern portion of Lee County. And when it comes to Southwest Florida state legislative delegation, incumbent Margaret Good was the lone Democrat to win victory over Republican incumbent Ray Pilon. That district covers a portion of Sarasota County. John Davis, WGCU News.
When it comes to ballot measures of local interest, referendums calling for tax increases passed last night in both Lee and Collier counties. Lee County voters approved a half-cent sales tax increase. 51.5% of voters said yes, while 48.5% voted no. This was a school board referendum looking to generate about $59 million a year for 10 years, beginning in 2019, to help the school district accommodate an ever-growing student population. About $268 million will go toward new construction, about $59 million toward safety and security needs, and about $57 million for upgrading technology. And the biggest chunk, about $365 million, will be allocated for ongoing facility maintenance. This referendum also creates an independent citizens committee to provide outside oversight over how the school district spends money. That committee will report directly to the citizenry of Lee County and not to administration officials. And in Collier County, a sales tax referendum narrowly passed with almost 51% of voters in favor and just over 49% opposed. This is a 1% sales tax increase, which will make Collier County sales tax 7% for 7 years or until it raises $490 million, whichever comes first. The money is to be used for projects that were put off during the recession, things like roadways, sidewalk, and bridge improvements. The money is also going to be used for enhancing hurricane evacuation shelters and expanding mental health care facilities and veterans nursing care facilities. $70 million will be set aside for the municipalities of Marco Island, Everglades City, and Naples for city-specific projects. If you're just joining the show today, we're reviewing the results of yesterday's midterm election through stories produced by public radio reporters around the state. We're not taking calls right now, but if you'd like to find us on Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. The first constitutional amendment Florida voters decided yesterday was narrowly rejected. WUSF's Stam Newland reports.
Floridians voted 58% in favor of Amendment 1, which asked voters to raise the amount they could apply to their homestead tax exemptions. The amendment needed at least 60% approval to pass. It would have raised the exemption amount by $25,000 for homes worth more than $100,000. The amendment was added to the ballot by state lawmakers, but was met with vocal opposition by cities and counties that collect property taxes. Supporters argued that the amendment would result in a tax cut for about 60% of residents claiming homestead exemptions. The Florida Association of Counties opposed it, arguing that the amendment would be a tax shift instead of a tax cut. They argued cities and counties across Florida would lose about $753 million in local taxes. I'm Sam Newlin in Tampa.
Florida voters passed two amendments relating to gambling yesterday. One bans greyhound racing. The other lets voters decide whether new casinos can open in the state. Amendment 13 brought animal lovers to both sides of the debate. One side saying racing greyhounds is dangerous or cruel. The other saying greyhounds are meant to run and are treated exceptionally well. Financially, dog racing has been a losing bet for track owners who benefited mainly from the card rooms they could run only if they had the dog racing. Receipts at Florida dog tracks fell more than 50% over the past decade. Voters ended greyhound racing by passing Amendment 13 by almost 69%, but the amendment includes language saying those card rooms can continue to operate. The other gambling amendment that passed relates to who gets to decide where or if a casino can open in the state. More than 71% of voters said they want to be the ones to decide on new casinos. So now, if someone hopes to open a casino in Florida, a statewide vote would have to be held to approve it. That shifts permitting and licensing away from the state legislature. Florida voters approved a change in the Constitution to automatically restore voting rights for people with felony convictions. Amendment 4 passed with more than the required 60% votes. It received about 64% approval. Esther McCann lives in North Miami. She says she supported the measure because she believes in second chances.
I do believe that, you know, once someone is incarcerated and they've served their time, that they've earned their right to come back into society and serve as a citizen. And so the right to vote was very important to me.
Florida had one of the most restrictive processes for people to regain their right to vote if they had a felony conviction. Christian Puentes went to Miami's Little Haiti neighborhood on election night, where a crowd that gathered for an Andrew Gillum watch party erupted in cheers when it was announced that Amendment 4 passed. Puentes spoke to WLRN before the election about losing his right to vote years ago and how that impacted him.
It'll feel good. I'll be able to go vote, and not having those rights just kind of reinforces that you're kind of like a second-class citizen, kind of like, you know, you're there, but you're not there fully.
Amendment 4 passing means more than a million Florida voters will be able to vote next election. A list of victims' rights will be added to Florida's Constitution, and that's because of Amendment 6, also known as Marcy's Law. It passed with about 62% of the vote yesterday. Lindsay Kilbride explains what that means.
A small section of victims' rights will be replaced with a much longer list of rights, 11 of them, like notice of all public proceedings, including pleas and trials associated with the case, also the right to be protected from the accused, and judges to consider their safety when setting bail, a lot of which is already in state law.
And they are consistently not enforced.
Advocates like attorney Tim Cirio, who played a part in getting the amendment on the ballot, had argued for constitutional strength. And while many state attorneys had endorsed adding it in Florida, Gainesville prosecutor Bill Cervone didn't. He had argued its passage could infringe on the rights of the accused, like it's imposing 2- and 5-year limits on different types of appeals, which he also argued
that the legislature is never going to fund enough people at those levels to meet the potential demands those time frames would impose.
Amendment 6's passage also ups the maximum retirement age for judges from 70 to 75 and requires judges to interpret laws themselves rather than rely on state agencies' interpretations of them. I'm Lindsay Kilbride in Jacksonville.
Floridians chose to permanently ban offshore drilling and workplace vaping. Those were the two proposals bundled together in the statewide ballot item Amendment 9. Health News Florida's Sammy Mack maps out what happened.
The framers of Amendment 9 claimed the proposals, a drilling ban and a vaping ban, both intersected with health and the environment. A lawsuit claiming they didn't belong together made its way to the state Supreme Court. The court ruled that this bundled amendment, number 9, could stay. There is already a federal moratorium on drilling that includes Florida's coastal waters, but last year the president issued an executive order encouraging more exploration off the coasts. Amendment 9 would, no matter what the feds do, prevent drilling in state waters, about 3 miles off the Gulf Coast and 10 miles off the Atlantic coast. Meanwhile, the vaping ban builds on Florida's existing ban on smoking at work in a lot of public places. Amendment 9 added constitutional language about e-cigarettes, a technology that didn't exist when Florida passed the Clean Indoor Air Act in 1985. The amendment needed a 60% majority to pass. It got about 69%. For Health News Florida, I'm Sammy Mack in Miami.
Voters have approved a state amendment that will bring major changes to the largest police department in Florida. As WLRN's Danny Rivero tells us, Amendment 10 has broad implications.
For the first time in over 50 years, voters in Miami-Dade County will be able to elect a sheriff. That position will replace the Miami-Dade police chief, who's currently appointed by the county mayor. Some counties like Miami-Dade have been able to create their own rules under what's known as home rule. Amendment 10 takes away some of that leeway. It requires every county to hold elections for five positions: sheriff, tax collector, clerk of courts, property appraiser, and supervisor of elections.
We don't want to see anyone abuse the home rule to take away their citizens' right to vote.
The Florida Sheriff's Association pushed the amendment. Mike Adkinson is the sheriff of Walton County and a former president of the group.
That should not be allowed to happen.
Broward and Volusia counties will also be affected. I'm Danny Rivero in Miami.
That's all the time we've got for this part of the show. When we return, we're going to meet a local representative of the nonprofit Home Base, which is part of the Boston Red Sox Foundation, which helps veterans reassimilate after they've retired from service. And we'll meet a Florida Gulf Coast University professor who is working to make the FGCU campus more inviting, engaging, and supportive of vets. I'm Julie Glenn, and you're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.